afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in, and a special shout out to you. If you've just stumbled on the dial, if you have no faith to speak of, I just want to make sure to acknowledge you. I'm so glad you're here. I believe really God has you here on purpose, and I pray you'll stay tuned. I believe every single day there's something here to help you remember and help you even explore the idea that you're someone God loves deeply. I'm super excited about today's show. We've got some great guests lined up. Also want to give a shout out to our friends who listen to our replay at 11 o'clock at night Central Time. We get more emails from friends who are listening late at night, who are walking through some pretty deep, difficult storms. Just want to say God sees you. He loves you. He is with you. And I'm glad you're here with us today. So here's a question for you if you're married. Now, if you're single, I want you to keep listening because I really believe there are concepts today we'll be talking about that will totally apply to your life. But if you're married, here's the question. Would you honestly say that your problems seem bigger than your purpose as a couple? In fact, have you identified a purpose, a calling, a sense of calling as a couple? And if not, do you know what happens? Scripture says that without a vision, people cast off all restraint. In other words, if you don't have a sense of calling on your marriage, there won't be a whole lot of restraint in the way that you fight, in the way that you work out your troubles, even in the way that you fill up the space on your calendar. But when there's a sense of vision, there's a restraint, there's a discipline, there's a focus. When you're in an argument, you realize we're on the same team and we've got a bigger call here. So this isn't about winning the argument. It's about winning for the team, right? Well, today I'm talking with Greg and Julie Gorman, and they've got a new book, hardcover, beautiful book titled Married for a Purpose, New Habits of Thinking for a Higher Way of Living. It's 52 weekly devotions for couples. They're short, they're to the point, they pack a punch. We've got four copies of this great book. We'd love to get a copy into your hands. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Married for a Purpose in the subject line, and don't forget that mailing address. A couple quick announcements. First of all, we've got FM signals going up in a lot of our markets. We're so excited, and so we know lots and lots of friends are discovering us in markets we've been for a while, but now you just, because we're on the FM dial now, you're catching us. So if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, checking in from 89.1 FM in Bismarck, hello and welcome to the family. 94.1 FM in Hartford, Connecticut, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM Madison, or one of the two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 or 97.5. Or maybe you're listening to the app or streaming online. We've got friends listening in from all over the world from that app. We love it so much. Welcome. So glad to have you. If you're brand new to the family listening, brand new to Live the Promise, email me and put new listener in the mailbox. Tell me where you're listening from. And I like to draw a couple of names a week and send out a handwritten note and some books off our Faith Radio shelf. My email is Susie@myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get them on the show. As entrepreneurs, certified life coaches, owners of small businesses, and parents of two teenagers, and now 20-something-year-old, Greg and Julie Gorman understand busyness and the struggles in everyday life. When first married, they allowed problems to divide them. As God taught them the powerful truth that problems divide and purpose unites, they made a decision to pursue and seize a purpose-focused marriage, and it changed everything. Greg and Julie make their home near West Palm Beach, Florida. Dear Greg and Julie, welcome back to the program.
Such a pleasure to be here.
Always love having you both. You're just so precious. So you know this. You've been on before. We love to start by talking scripture. So, Julie, I'll start with you first, if I could. Any verse that God's been speaking to you about these days?
I love that you always open, because it's the Word of God that brings freedom and liberty. For me personally, the way that God's been speaking to me is a passage out of 1 Corinthians 4:2, and it says, above all, a servant, a steward, must be found trustworthy. And I just have been so impacted by that, because I guess I got stopped on the word steward and the word trustworthy. And for me personally, it's been a stewardship of parenthood, a stewardship of our resources, a stewardship of our home, a stewardship of our ministry. And how can I then be found trustworthy in that? The second part of that is out of Matthew 10:27, and what God's been speaking is, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What's whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the rooftops. And I know that with that means I need to posture myself in a place of humility, a place of quiet, And so the personal challenge is to be getting up every morning around 4:30 or 5. I think I drive Greg nuts with it, but it's my draw away time, because the only way that I can truly be trustworthy, the only way that I can be a good steward is if I first hear God's voice.
Wow. Amen. And I hear your puppy. There you go. Love the dog. We love dogs on Live the Promise. So beautiful, though. Thank you so much for that, Julie. What about you, Greg?
Well, you probably heard that we have a dog, first of all. So that.
We love our pups, Greg. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, good. For me, first of all, I love what Julie was expanding on there. Ecclesiastes in the third chapter, there's this little verse, 15, in the third chapter. It says, that which has already been and that which has, that which has, which is, has already been, and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. And I've spent a fair amount of time really pondering that verse, because it speaks a lot to God being unbound by time and space, like we are. So there's a lot of the things that when he speaks over us and gives us a promise for our future, I've been really guilty about going about trying to make things happen. And I think like it's up to me many times when if I can just release and allow him to produce the outcome and just simply be obedient where he has me. What he's called me to and what he's promised me already is, because he's not bound by time or space. So I just have to be faithful where I am with what he's given me to do and leave the outcome to him.
That awesome.
Lets me rest and gives me a little peace.
Yeah, I mean, and truly to know that it's in his heart. Psalm 139 even talks about every single one of our days were already planned before we lived one. So to be able to just trust that in due time, we'll see in the natural what God already knows in the spiritual. I mean, it's just really amazing. Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. Well, you guys both open your book with letting us know that in the early parts of marriage, problems divided before you learn that purpose unites. And I would actually love from both of your perspectives what your early years in marriage were like. So, Julie, if we don't mind, let's start with you. But just give us a synopsis of what marriage was like for you and how God met you there.
So, we've had the privilege of sharing with your listeners before. It was tumultuous. We loved one another passionately, but, Susie, we truly fought just as passionately. And for me personally, I carried a lot of baggage, a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache, a failed first marriage, an upbringing with abuse of every sort that was in my household, so physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, and just had a lot of different things that carried with me. And my paradigm was that Greg was supposed to meet all of my needs and be my knight in shining armor and be Jesus to me, right? And it was a really unfair advantage, disadvantage really for him. And so what God began to deal with me was that I needed to change. Rather than spending all my effort trying to control my husband, God wanted to change my heart, and he wanted me to entrust Greg to him. And so it came to a point where God challenged me to love Greg as he had loved me. And I knew that that meant that it was unmerited. I didn't deserve God's love, but God's love rescued me. I didn't always act becomingly to God, right? There were times where I failed and certainly had disappointed him, but he loved me anyway. And with that paradigm, it was time for me to allow God to change in me the things that needed to be changed. And then entrust that God would be big enough, be my defender, and take care of my needs, and changing Greg the things that needed to be changed in him.
And you saw that happen over time, didn't you?
Absolutely. You know, there came a point where because I surrendered myself to God, and I surrendered Greg to God, I chose to be unmoved by the things that he did or didn't do. And as I lavished him with love, as I lavished Greg with the praise that God would speak over me, I would speak over Greg. And because God was filling me up and I was a whole person, I was able to extend mercy, grace, and forgiveness, the same things that God had extended to me. and I watched Greg's heart soften. And I think his heart was always softened, but I think I was aware of being able to receive his acts of love versus trying to get him to do what I thought he needed to do when I thought I needed him to do that. And there was a big change there.
That is huge, what you just said, Julie. And I think that maybe women today need to hear this, where we can get such a judgment against our men that they're trying to come towards us and love us in the way that they're able to, ready to. And we discount it completely because we've got a form and a formula. You know, we've got a bullseye. You got to hit this for this to be legitimate. And you're right. When God does a healing in our own hearts, we can kind of stop white knuckling, open our hands and be on the receiving end and let God figure this out. And we need to pause here. Greg, I want to hear your story on the other side. But that, I feel like, is a probably a light bulb moment for somebody, Julie, today. Thank you so much for just the way you steward your story so that others can learn. Talking to Julie and Greg Gorman, Greg will share from his perspective those early years of marriage and how they really at first thought and felt and experienced that problems divide, but then purpose unites, how they came to a purpose, what their purpose is, how you can find yours as well. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. That song by Matthew West, and you know what? That's especially true when you're walking through marriage troubles. God is at work in such a big way, and if we can cooperate with Him and get in rhythm with Him, we will see some of the greater work that He's doing in our midst. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friends Greg and Julie Gorman, who have written a great book titled Married for a Purpose, New Habits of Thinking for a Higher Way of Living, 52 Weekly Devotions for Couples. We've got 4 copies. Would love to get a copy into your hands. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Married for a Purpose in the subject line and remember that mailing address. So, Greg, before the break, Julie was giving her perspective of those early years of marriage where you both described that problems divided you until you learned to have the purpose unite you. So give us your perspective of what that was like.
You know, the truth is we didn't have a clue what a successful marriage looked like. You know, both of our parents had been divorced and had lots of relationships that were failed. Julie and I both came into our marriage from broken marriages ourselves, where our spouse had been unfaithful. And so we'd seen all of the ways not to do things, but we hadn't really captured a good example of what it looked like to have a great marriage. And so the early years of our marriage were kind of like marriage 101. We had to learn how to learn the basics to be married. And so we did a lot of the things that Julie talked about. We picked each other apart. We pointed out each other's faults. We tore each other down. We demanded our expectations, drew lines in the sand. We kept score. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And to top it all off, I had a horrible temper. And so wasn't the greatest at listening, and certainly wasn't great at being compassionate. So you can imagine it was a pretty dicey household for a little while. We were both running Mach 10 and trying to do the best that we knew how to serve one another, but failing miserably and having no idea why. And as we really began to look at our behaviors, as God began to deal with our hearts, and Julie, you know, tells her story of how God really convicted her about not being my Holy Spirit. At the same time, He was doing that in me as well, just in a slightly different way, whereas I realized what I needed to do was to slow down and love her the way she needed to be loved. So you talked a little bit about the ladies maybe needing to hear that to receive our love as men as we're able to give it to them. But the guys have a responsibility in there too that's maybe just the opposite of that, and that is to observe our wives in such a way that we begin to understand her and learn what it is that she craves and what it is that she needs. You know, before we got married, I told her, I'll lasso the moon for you. Whatever you want, it's yours. I'll make it happen. But then for whatever reason, in the busyness of life and kids and financial pressures and such, a lot of that stuff just kind of melted away to just simply trying to maintain and survive marriage rather than actually thrive in marriage. And I think that when things really turned a corner is when we did what we've talked about actually in the last couple of books, and that is instead of focusing all of our attention on the shortcomings, on the issues, even the issues that were outside of ourselves, Susie, were financial issues. And instead of putting all of our time into solving problems, we started asking a different question, and that is, what is the desired result that we agree on? And when we found that we could agree on a, it may be a high level result, maybe the 30,000 foot view, or it may be the 50 or 100,000 foot view, but we stayed in that question until we found a common thing that we could agree on and a direction that we wanted to move together. Now, instead of giving our attention to all of the issues and all of our shortcomings, we gave all of our attention to where it is that we wanted to be and where we wanted to go and where we really felt like God wanted to go. And that truly was pivotal for us.
Man, that is powerful. Again, somebody needed to hear that today. So the idea of purpose unites. Speak, if you would, both of you, to the person who's listening today saying, how do I identify a purpose? Do I pick it out of the sky? Do I just come up with something that I would love to do? Or do we, how, is it deeper, more deeply discerned in the presence of God? Julie, what do you say?
Oh, I love that question. You know, I think that sometimes we can overcomplicate purpose because we don't want to miss it and we don't want to mess it up, right? So we get this big, huge, ethereal idea of, oh my goodness, what does God want for my life? And one of the ways that God freed me from just being able to be who I am, and one of the things we draw out in the book too, Susie, is that our purpose isn't so much in something that we do, but in who we are. And for me, our passions, the things that we love, it's those intricate giftings and the design, the things that we love doing that help to serve as a compass towards the vision that God has for our lives. So, for example, I had the awesome privilege of leading a women's ministry group in Louisville, Kentucky for several years. And we had women who loved to go knitting, you know, together in a group. They loved to go kayaking. Other women did. Other women loved to do Bible studies. And we had different group leaders that facilitated all of those small groups. And so they just simply lived the passions. They lived those things. And, of course, under God's authority. God's not going to call us to do something that is contrary to his word or his character. But as they simply did the passions, those things under God's authority, life took place. Salvations took place. And so the same thing exists in businesses. The same things exist in a marriage relationship. There are certain qualities and core values that drive us. There are certain passions that are in us. And so as we begin, either individually or as a couple, ask God and invite him to show us his vision, I think a big part of that really points back to our passions. Greg, what would you add to that?
Well, you captured a lot of it. You really did. But I think, again, going back to where you started, Jules, many times we start and it becomes a very intimidating process. And so as a couple, I would just start with three common purposes to every marriage. And you can just jot these down if you're listening. And to be quite honest, you'll be miles ahead of really where most of us start for sure. And one of them is just unify together that your purpose is to make God known. And begin to ask yourself questions together. How can our marriage literally be purposeful in making God known? And one of the things that we discovered in that is it's really easy to miss our very best opportunity, our greatest opportunity to make God known. And that is right within the four walls of our own home. Because when we get that right there, in other words, when I demonstrate Jesus to my wife, to my kids, and I live that way right here in our house, It's much easier for me to authentically do that out on the street or in the church or at the grocery store. And so I would just put an exclamation point on making God known, and specifically within the four walls of your own house. The next one that I would say is to bring God pleasure. And when we honor him and when we honor our spouse, it brings him pleasure. So if I wake up in the morning and I think, how can my marriage, how can my actions within my marriage bring God pleasure today? Then it guides my action. And then the last one that I would mention is to demonstrate God's unconditional love. Let's think about this for just a second. There is no better and clearer place for us to be an earthly example to the rest of the world of God's unconditional love than in our marriage. You know, naturally, we're going to do this. It's easier, I think, even to demonstrate unconditional love to our kids. But when it comes to marriage, there's a lot more opportunity sometimes to do the opposite and put a lot of conditions on our love. But if we make part of the purpose of our marriage to demonstrate and to be an earthly example to the rest of the world of God's unconditional love and what it's supposed to look like, then I think that we not only nail our purpose as a couple, because these are for every marriage, but we also set ourselves apart from the rest of the world. And goodness knows we need to be doing that. The only other thing that I would add beyond that, ladies, is look at the evidence in our life. And Julie talked a little bit about this by looking at what is our passion? What do we enjoy? What has God gifted us to do? And when Julie and I started doing that, we did it separately, and then we came together and looked for the common ground or the different items that complemented with one another. And when we did that, we found a lot of purpose in that, and it's helped us to live in ministry successfully and significantly with purpose.
We got to pause here. We got a break. Sorry, Greg. Talking to Greg and Julie Gorman, talking about how to define purpose. And he said these three apply to everybody. Make God known, bring God pleasure, reflect God's unconditional love. Even doing that in the context of marriage, people were going to stand up and notice. And then as a couple, imagine as a couple making God known, as a couple bringing him pleasure, as a couple to the world out there reflecting his unconditional love. That's a full-time job right there. But there's even more that God has for you to do. More with Greg and Julie Gorman when we return.
But I know we're gonna make it. And I know we're gonna get there soon. And I know sometimes it feels like we're going the wrong way. But it's just a long way home.
Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friends Greg and Julie Gorman. Written a fantastic book, hardcover, beautiful devotional, 52 weekly devotions for couples, titled Married for a Purpose, New Habits of Thinking for a Higher Way of Living. And Greg, you were saying before the break that when I was asking, you know, how does a couple go about finding a purpose? I mean, do they just kind of pick it out of the air? Do they discern it in time with the Lord? And you said this applies to everybody, these three things. And we can even get more focused after this, but to make God known, to bring God pleasure, to reflect his unconditional love. If we just make that a goal within marriage, I mean, people will start to notice our marriage, but then as a couple to go, out in this world, how can I make God known? Out in this world, how can I bring him pleasure? I mean, truly, that in itself could be a sustainable mission. But I know you both think that there's even more than that, to pay attention to your own passion so you can identify your calling. Greg, finish your thought, and then Julie, speak to that if you would.
Yeah, the final piece of that is just, I think that, again, as a word of encouragement to those who dive into this process of discovering your marriage purpose, I just want to say this. God has a specific purpose. So the purposes that we mentioned a minute ago, those apply to every marriage. So when you go to look for your individual purpose, one of the things that we've noticed as we've led studies and even spoke at different churches across the country, sometimes folks think that marriage purpose has to be some sort of a platform ministry or leading a Sunday school or moving overseas for missions. And I just want to encourage you that it doesn't. It could be something very, very, very practical. We had a couple recently who they have a passion for being fit and for sports. And so what they do is for God, they come together and they invite people to go golfing or to do these different things and put together groups to go and do these kind of activities. Nobody reads a Bible verse or anything like that, but it's just people hanging out with good Christian people and seeing their light shine by not doing anything in particular, but simply being who they are and what they are doing, they love.
Julie, do you want to add to that?
I just absolutely resoundingly say, you know, God is creative. And our calling, just as there's no such thing as a Christian without a calling, there's no such thing as a marriage without a ministry. And that marriage ministry, whether, as Greg said, it may not be standing up on a formal pulpit. Very few are called to that kind of capacity of ministry. We enjoy that privilege, right? We enjoy doing that together as a couple. But that marriage ministry is as creative and unique as God is. And so we take couples through a process in that first book, Two Are Better Than One. And then in this book, Susie, what we really do is we give the practicalities of how we change our thoughts to welcome that higher way of living.
And here's an example. Surrender your rights for God's ultimate purpose. Julie, speak to that one.
That's so good. You know, there's so much time for me that I can get really busy in my own mind. And I can occupy my time. I start running after things. And sometimes those things, Susie, are really, really good. And that's where it comes back to, as we opened up the broadcast, of me getting really quiet and concentrating my attention on God's intention and allowing him to speak what my purpose is, allowing him to, in other words, for me to step into his day rather than just inviting him a little bit into mine. And so for couples especially, I think that as we can carve out the time, not live on the altar of the urgency, and take time for reflection, when we take time to not just have our lives happen to us, but lead our lives through prayer and reflection, God speaks, and then we're able to welcome that, and there's these creative thoughts. Anyone who's ever heard me share, you know, I'll say a lot of times, God told me to. And what I mean by that is it isn't that he is speaking audibly, that'd make it easy. But as I get quiet, there's all of a sudden a face that'll pop in my mind or a thought that is a one-liner that goes through my mind that gives me direction for the day. And so I think that the thing that we can do as couples is if we can take even just one day a week and we carve out that time to get quiet together and we begin to invite God, what's your intention for us this week? How can we make you known practically in our home today? He's going to fill our thoughts with a lot of creativity, and we're not going to just let our lives happen. We're going to lead our life.
I got to tell you, our marriage radically changed many years ago when we decided to make prayer a daily priority and giving space to it, not just sort of whipping out the same sentences we say every day, but giving some space to waiting, to listening, to talking with the Lord, to processing what we sense God is saying. It is amazing the vision he gives, the sense of adjustments he asks us to make, and then we walk it out and realize how much wisdom he was imparting that we didn't even realize. I mean, I feel like when it's all said and done and we get with the Lord and he comes for us again, there'll be that flickering moment to think, I had access to the inner courtroom of the Most High God. What was more important than that? But, you know, they do say if the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. And boy, if I can speak to young marriages, even old marriages, get with God, as Julie's saying, and enjoy that presence. Well, Greg, this is another one that I love. When you can't change the way you feel, change the way you think. Say more if you would.
Oh, yes. You know, our outcome begins in our mindset. And many times, and we have, it's great because we get to have a lot of conversations like this with our kids now as they're trying to manage their thoughts and really realize that sometimes even if our mood is a little awry, if we allow our emotions to rule us, then we're probably going to have a lot of peaks and valleys, even inside of any given day, and certainly inside of any given week. And the people around us sometimes pay the price for that. But when we remember that, you know, as the great King Solomon said, we become what we think about. You know, as we think in our heart, so are we. That our outcome begins in our mindset. Then it challenges us then to remind ourselves and put checkpoints in place to, instead of finding evidence for the bad feelings or things of that nature that we have on any given day, we change our thoughts to the things that we want to find more of. And we think on these things as Paul instructed us. And as we do that, then the rest of it kind of begins to fall into place. And I know that sounds oversimple. I understand. However, it doesn't make it any less true.
Yeah.
When we focus and harness our thoughts on godly thoughts and the desires of our heart, things have a way of really turning out much more peachy, especially in our relationships.
Peachy. Did you hear that, friends? Peachy. Okay, I got to read this quote from your book, and I'd love for you to speak to this one, Julie. Love this. Truth be told, sometimes we can't immediately change the way we feel. In those moments, we need to create a new habit of understanding. When we can't change how we feel, we need to change the way we think, as Greg was saying. Every day, our decisions move us closer or further from our desired outcome. Our victory begins on the battlefield of our mind. And, you know, I know guys and gals have their own different kind of battle, but I think as women, our thoughts can go rogue. We can catastrophize. We get places so fast. I mean, talk about how God has helped you win the battle in your mind, Julie.
Oh, it's such a great, for me, it was a huge battle. I could concoct all kinds of horrible things that were going to happen in any day, anywhere from the kids were going to get run over by a car or or Greg was going to be out with another woman. I mean, I could create a lot of chaos. And I remember there was early on in our marriage, there was, again, a lot of different things that I was working through, and I could not change the way I felt about it. I felt powerless. I felt overwhelmed. I felt conquered. And I knew, you know, scripture would say that we are more than conquerors through him, right? And all of these different scriptures, and I would try to claim the scriptures. And yet, Susie, I was powerless. And then God invited me to participate. And every single time that a negative thought would come in, either of unforgiveness, like if Greg had done something, I would say, no, I choose to forgive. As far as the East is from the West, I don't remember it. And sometimes I would literally have to stop and say, no, I don't remember that anymore. Or if something fearful would come up, it's like, that's okay. God's bigger than that problem. And if that happens, my God is able.
Mm-hmm.
And I would begin to change the way that I was thinking. I would begin to remind myself of where God showed up powerfully, where he showed up in unexpected ways and gave deliverance or gave protection. And as my thoughts shifted, not from just claiming a scripture. Now, listen, the Word of God is powerful, and I'm not trying to delineate that, but the Word of God is only powerful when we believe it.
That's right.
And what I needed to do is to align my belief with the words that I was claiming. And so I postured myself to say, God, help, change, help me remember. And then I would remember the truth. And so when you can't change the way you feel, for me, what gave me the victory is I would remember who my God was and what he had done for me in the past. Mm. And then I was able to claim those scriptures and gain victory and extend that grace, mercy, and forgiveness that I talked about earlier.
Well, that's a heart-mind-soul connection. You know, you're not parroting things without, you're engaging your heart. You're engaging your core belief system. You're retraining your brain to think like scripture says, and that is a battle, but it is one that's worth fighting. And Greg, here's another one from that same chapter that I'd love for you to speak to. If we want to change how we feel, we need to change how we think by feeding the right thoughts. Remember, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. And again, just like Julie did there, I'd love for you to give some example from your own life on how you learned to retrain your brain in that regard.
Well, I remember a season several years ago where I was really in the darkest place I'd ever been in my entire life. I had basically lost everything. Julie and I and the family, we had moved across the country 3 different times within 1 year.
Oh my.
Finally landed in South Florida. Yeah, it was pretty traumatic. And we thought the whole time we were in the center of God's will. We were doing what he was asking us to do. And we had walked away from a lot of success and a fair amount of significance, and we just couldn't figure out. I certainly couldn't figure out why, during this time period of obedience and sacrifice, that there wasn't a blessing, an immediate blessing and reward. And so I spent a lot of my time. What preoccupied my thoughts was retracing my steps. God, where did I miss you? You know, I thought I was being obedient. What preoccupied my thoughts was, what's wrong with me? How have I lost your favor? What did I do wrong? And I was doing my morning study time in the Word, and I came across several passages that we've all read or heard taught on many times. And Jesus says, "Be it unto you according to your faith." Flip over a few more pages. He's delivering a healing once again. He said, "It's your faith that has made you well." And I thought to myself, self, mm-hmm. My faith, my belief actually has something to do with my outcome. So it's a lot like what Julie talked about, just a slightly different scenario. And just a few pages over, I see again where Jesus uses the analogy. He says, if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. And I asked Julie, I said, what do you suppose the difference is in faith the size of a mustard seed and faith the size of the very mountain it is that you're asking to move? And so as we talked about it a little, we decided this. We decided there's no difference. You can't sort of believe something. You either fully believe it or you don't. And what happened is I began to take control of my thoughts. And again, much like Julie said, go back and remember the last time that I felt a similar feeling where I felt uneasy, I felt angst, I felt like God wasn't with me. And how did that situation end? Was he faithful or was he not? And that began the process of me not just believing those things, but really living in such a way that I believed those things. And since that time period, we have more peace, contentment, and joy than we've ever had in our entire life.
Wow. And how long before the breakthrough came, Greg? I mean, there are those seasons where it seems like if you take a snapshot of your current circumstance, it doesn't line up with the potent promises of God. And that's going to be the case. There are snapshot moments that it looks like that. But in due time, his promises prove true again and again. So how did that happen for you?
Well, I really appreciate that you asked that question. And here's why. This was a 7-year period of darkness, but it didn't begin to change when my circumstances changed. It began to change when I chose to see the good, when I chose to live as though God is who he says he is in his scripture, and that his promises are actually true, despite our circumstances, that he does, that he is for us, that he does use all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And when I really believed those things, when I chose to ponder those things, despite my circumstances, then it was pretty cool to watch how the circumstances begin to slowly, layer by layer, kind of peel back and change.
That's just
but
beautiful.
I think if that bottom line is... No, don't go ahead, please.
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
Bottom line.
I think the bottom line is that God had a lot of work to do on me. And I had to go through that season for the duration that it was because I'm hard-headed. And it took me a while, I think, to finally get it.
Wow. Talking to Greg and Julie Gorman. And here again is another example. He changes us before the circumstances change, whether that's your marriage, whether that's the season that you're in. Talking to Greg and Julie Gorman, title of their book, Married for a Purpose. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about their statement in the book that we shouldn't mistake God's silence with his absence. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
I wanna be different. I wanna be changed. Till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright.
Hope you're having a really great day. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friends Greg and Julie Gorman, who've written a great book titled Married for a Purpose. If you feel like your marriage needs a reset and you need a common goal and a common cause, these are short devotionals every day that will help you so much. Bring focus, bring faith, passion to your life. Four copies we have to give away, so email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. So I'd love for you both to speak to this, and I always love hearing stories from your own lives, if possible. But you say we shouldn't mistake God's silence with his absence. And Julie, we'll go with you first.
Wow. I remember when God captured that thought, one of those one-liners, Susie, that ran through my mind of don't mistake my silence as my absence. And I just stopped. And as only the Holy Spirit can, he just got my attention. We were in one of those in-between times of life. And I remember feeling so overwhelmed, forgotten. I started asking God, why is all of this happening? Where are you? You know, didn't you say? And I remember huge promises that he'd whispered, but our circumstances were not lining up even remotely, not even a glimmer of what he had promised. And so every time the Holy Spirit would come back and say, will you serve me here? If this is all it is, will you be faithful and serve me here? And each time I remember answering yes. But there was one day in particular where it had been really a long duration of darkness. And honestly, Greg was at his rock bottom, and I felt his soul was in the balance. Mm. And so that day, again, the Holy Spirit, as he did, he said, will you serve me here, Julie? If this is all it is, will you serve me here? And I remember that day, Susie, I had a different response because I had always said I would never sacrifice my family on the altar of ministry. So when the Holy Spirit asked that, I stopped and I again evaluated my answer. And I said, I'll serve you here, but, and it was the first time I gave a condition of but. And I said, but I need to know that we're going to be okay and that my husband's going to come out on the other end of it. Fast forward a few hours, I sopped myself to sleep, and I awakened at 3:33 in the morning. And what happened at that moment forever changed my life, because I really at this point still question whether I heard the audible voice of God or not. All I know is I heard my name, and I awakened thinking it was Greg, and I looked over, and he was sound asleep. And then I had just this warm blanket feeling come over me, and again, a one-liner fashion that I know was the Holy Spirit, because I'm not that alert at 3:33 in the morning. And what happened is God spoke just this concise thought. And he said, faith isn't contingent upon the outcome of your circumstances. Faith resides in the unshakable confidence of who I am and my good intent towards you.
Amen.
You see, in that season, it was so silent. In that season of waiting, it was kind of like, you know, David being anointed the future king, but he went back out with the sheep, scripture says, right, in 1 Samuel. Mm-hmm. And there were years, it was like almost 25 years before he assumed the throne. And so in that season of waiting, there was a lot of pain and heartache. But that's where God showed up and reminded me that it wasn't my circumstances. That's not where faith was required, right? Faith rested. Faith resided in the unshakable confidence of who God was, who he is. And that his intent towards me was good. So the good, the bad, the things that I perceived as good, the things I perceived as bad, sifted through his hands of love for me. And even in his silence, that too was meant for my good.
Wow, what a powerful answer. And Greg, we've got about 3 minutes before it's time to pray, but I would sure love to hear that from you as well, just how God met you in those dark nights of the soul.
I found myself one day wrestling. Julie mentioned that my soul was in the balance, and the truth is it really was, because everything that I thought I knew up until that point, it just didn't make sense anymore. God wasn't who I thought he was. To say he was silent during that period was an understatement. At least it felt that way at the time. And I pulled over to the side of the road one day, and I said, you know what, something's got to change today. And I asked myself this question, do I believe what I have professed my whole life to believe or not? And I couldn't answer the question. I couldn't answer the question, Susie, in that moment. I couldn't. But thankfully, I know now it was the Holy Spirit prompted me with another question, and that is there any way I cannot believe what I've professed my whole life to believe about who God is? And in that moment, I realized, and it took some pondering, but my honest answer is there's no way I could not believe what I professed to believe in my whole life. And so, though the season was dark, though it was tough, though I would never want to order up another plate of that, okay, I would not trade that, because guess what? God was speaking during that time period. He was molding me. There's no way that Julie and I could do what we do together, and certainly not to the magnitude that we do today, had I not, and candidly, had we not gone through that season together. He's speaking.
Yeah, even when it seems that he's not. And there's another chapter, friends. This is why I want you to get the book that reminds us all that nothing's impossible with God, that he wants to do the unimaginable in our lives. And you guys, this has just been such a rich time, and I pray you'll come back again and continue the conversation. And Julie, I wonder if you'd pray for that person who feels like their marriage maybe is hanging on by a thread, or they've just gotten into terrible habits. It feels impossible to do a reset. Would you pray for that person?
Father, I thank you that you are the God of the impossible, that where our strength is weary, you're strong. And so I pray for that person right now, that your Holy Spirit would show up and show off, that you would give them a glimmer of hope, and that you would help them in their time of need. And I thank you, God, that as they draw near to you, you promise that you will show up and you will fulfill and you will strengthen. And so we ask for blessing and favor on them and hope for their situation again, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Greg and Julie Gorman, how can people get a hold of you if they want to connect?
We'd love for them to visit us. Actually, they can go to marriedforapurpose.com, so that makes it real simple. They can find us on Facebook, where we post inspiration daily. Short little snippets, just little practical ways that you can honor God and honor one another in your relationship. And that's facebook.com/marriedforapurpose.
Well, Julie and Greg, come back again and bless you for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you, too. Greg and Julie Gorman, title of their book, Married for a Purpose.
Do you ever get the feeling that there's something greater happening here? Do you ever get the feeling that there's something greater happening here?
Wow, did I tell you? Fantastic conversation. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, another Power Hour. Buckle up, baby, because our friends, pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, are in the house, and they're going to talk about game-changing moments, game-changing faith. Every time they come in studio, we're kind of blown away. So get ready. They're outside. I see them in the green room. We're going to have another great hour in just a moment.